Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Kareem to everyone. I prepared a PowerPoint that, alhamdulillah, we have it connected to the screen so you can follow along on this juz. And the juz that I selected from is mainly from Surat al-Imran, and Surat al-Imran is mainly dealing with the house of Imran, or the family that is connected to Prophet Musa and Harun and Isa alayhi salam, and so it is partly dealing with interfaith relations and how we deal with people of other faiths, and in particular people of the book, those who have been given revelation like us, mainly the Jews and Christians. And from that we have selected some verses, and the theme of these verses is a message of resolve, a message of compassion, and a message of perseverance. And the challenge of interfaith relations in verses number 99 and 100, it refers to the followers of the earlier revelation, Ahlul Kitab. Why do you endeavor to bar those who have come to believe in this divine writ from the path of God by trying to make it appear crooked, when you yourselves bear witness to its being straight, for God is not aware of what you do? So it's a message to the Jewish and Christian communities,
and from them those who have seen Islam as a threat to their own message, even though they know that it is a correct message, an accurate message, because it is consistent with their faiths of monotheism, and Islam is there to reaffirm monotheism and to develop it, but they see it as a threat. And while they see it as something straight, it says they make it look as if it is crooked. And this verse, as if it is speaking to us today, because this is not a problem that has gone away. If you go to, unfortunately, many of the churches, they say of the evangelical churches, 57% of them speak against Islam. And when you turn on the TV, the televangelicals are speaking against Islam. And you go to synagogues, unfortunately, many of them speak against Islam and Muslims because of the situation with the Palestinians. And so you find this problem ongoing. And it is telling us to be aware of that. And it is telling us in verse number 100, O you have attained to faith, if you pay heed to them, to those, some of the, those to whom revelation was vouchsafed aforetime, those Ahlul Kitab, they might cause you to renounce the truth after you have come to believe in it. So be aware that we are not going to compromise on our values, even though we are told to engage. And we see this challenge for us today, but it follows. The Quran then warns us not to stereotype all Jews and Christians. It says, but they are not all alike. Among the followers of early revelation, there are upright people who recite God's messages throughout the night and prostrate themselves. So even in our examples, we have the Rabbi Leonard Biermans and the Sharon Brouses. We have the Reverend George Regas and the Reverend Ed Bacon. We have the United Methodist Church that is offering us space to worship in their churches and protecting us and defending us and forming a line of defense. They are the ones that we should be engaging with and empowering and developing that close relation. They are not like those others who are attacking Islam because they feel threatened by it. And then the Quran says, and behold, among the followers of the early revelation, there are indeed such as truly believe in God and in that which has been bestowed from on high upon you, as well as in that which has been bestowed upon them. Standing in awe of God, they do not barter away God's messages for a trifling gain. They shall have their reward with their sustainer, for behold, God is swift in reckoning. So these two verses follow the other verse that talks about those who are trying to make it crooked, and this was the time, obviously, in Medina, of the various tribes that were questioning the prophet at that time and throughout the Arabian Peninsula, but we see the same things happening today. So be aware, but let us not stereotype. Let us select those Jews and Christians who are truly friends of the Muslim community and work with them. The definition of God conscious, then, is the Quran is defining it for us. And vie with one another, and I'm going to come back to this issue of vying with each other, to compete with one another for forgiveness, and this has been readied for the God conscious, and then it defines who the God conscious are. Who are the muttaqun? Those who are God conscious, it says in Surah number 3, this is Surah Al-Imran, of course, in verse number 134, they are those who, number 1, they spend in His way in time of plenty and in time of hardship. Regardless of our situation, they are spending for the cause of God. They are giving what they can. And the Prophet ﷺ said, even if you have one date, he's reported to have said, even if you have one date, you give half the date. So the Muslim is always giving no matter what situation he's in. Number 2, they hold in check their anger. The strongest of us is the one that controls his or her anger. That is the definition of strength in our faith. And number 3, they pardon their fellow men because God loves the doers of good. So those are the 3 components of God consciousness: spending, controlling our anger, and pardoning people. This is a surah that also talked about the Battle of Uhud, where the Prophet ﷺ was injured and almost fatally injured. And it was because some of the Muslims that he had ordered to remain in a position, they left their positions, and it almost led to a final disaster against the Muslims. But God says to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam what to do in this situation. And this is a lesson for us as leaders. And when we say leaders, a leader is the one, as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam taught us, is the one who is serving people. So a leader can be a leader of a family, a leader of friends, a leader at work, a leader in the mosque who is administrating our needs, administering our needs here. So anyone who is a leader, it is important to look at this message in terms of how to deal with those people that you're trying to lead, and to always be soft towards them. And the Quran says, this is when they made a fatal mistake against the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, this is what the Quran told the Prophet to do. And it tells us what to do in these situations as well. And it was by God's grace that you, O Prophet, did deal gently with your followers. Gently. So it means to be soft with them, to be gentle with them. For if you were harsh and hard of heart, they would have indeed broken away from you. Pardon them then, and pray for that they be forgiven, and take counsel with them. So not only do you forgive them, but go and counsel with them and get their advice. In other words, let us move on. Let us go to the next chapter. Let us go to the next project and build from that. That is a word of wisdom for all of us that deal with difficulty, mistakes, and failures in our lines of business or in our dealings. And then it reminds them that before their time, there were prophets who were followed by devoted men. They did not become faint of heart for all that they had to suffer in God's cause, and neither did they weaken, nor did they abase themselves before the enemy. So we do not beg. We do not compromise our values. We stand. We are told to be states-like in our approach with everything, but we are never faint of heart. We always remain tall and strong together. Then the surah ends with this important verse, surah number 200, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sabiru wasabiru warabitu wattaqullaha la'allakum tuflihun, that, oh, you have attained to faith, be patient in adversity, and vie in patience. So remember the first verse I talked about earlier, vie with one another in forgiveness. The Quran is telling us, if you're going to compete with one another, compete in forgiveness, compete in patience. These are 2 very important lessons for us, especially in this month of Ramadan. If we have a goal set for ourselves in Ramadan, how often can we forgive one another? How often can we compete to be more patient than the other? This is the parameter for success of the Muslim, and especially in this month of Ramadan. And the last verse I want to share with you, it is telling us in verse number 195 that God does not lose sight of our work. Whatever work we do, how little it is, or how big it is, how monumental it is, or how infinitesimal it is, it says, and thus does your sustainer answer your, and does their sustainer answer their prayer. I shall not lose sight of the labor of any of you who labors in my way, be it man or woman. Each of you is an issue of the other. So let us reflect on these verses and share them with each other, and inshallah apply them as we get the best out of Ramadan. I want to end by giving you a very important announcement that we have achieved, I think, a very important step. Again, in the stature of this Islamic Center, the Congress, the House Oversight Committee, is having a hearing on white nationalism and what law enforcement needs to do to protect houses of worship from white nationalist violence. And our chairman, Omar Ricci, has been selected to go to Washington to testify on behalf of the Muslim community. This is a major achievement for us in getting our voice heard and standing tall. Inshallah, this will be another step towards the security of the Muslim community for Islam in America for the future. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.